give you a quick list here. So the first thing we do is we buy stuff, right? We buy stuff thinking that'll make us happy and satisfied. So we buy the iPhone, and then the iPhone 2, and then the iPhone 3, and 4, and 5, and 6, and 6S, and 8, and 10. Did they skip 9? Is that, am I understanding right, that they skipped 9? Okay. So we buy stuff. We buy stuff in hopes, but something happens there, and it's satisfying for a brief time, isn't it? But then suddenly it's not, and that's why we end up buying so many more. And then we eat stuff. We're trying to find satisfaction, so we eat stuff. And then thirdly, we smoke stuff, right? And we drink stuff, and we inhale stuff, and we inject stuff. And if you're really young and really stupid, you swallow Tide Pods, and all these other dumb YouTube things that have been going on. And yet somehow it's just not satisfying, is it? And that's why we have to keep doing more. See, we watch stuff. You know, we watch TV. And then we get bored with, you know, the remember back when, how many of you are old enough to remember back when there were 3 channels? Yeah. Remember that? You remember doing this? Remember that? You know, and then you were doing this with the antennas, right? You were, you know, but, you know, and there were sitcoms and these shows, and then we got bored with that, so they started coming out with reality TV, you know, American Idol, and So You Think You Can Dance, and so you, but you can't, that kind of, you know, and so we have all these reality shows, and we get bored with that, and we watch movies, and PG is pretty boring now, and so I don't even mention G, but PG-13, and then we graduate to R, and then that gets boring as well, and so we end up looking at X, and then we have the pornography problem in our world that we talked about last night, all because we're looking for some kind of satisfaction, but it never comes, and so we keep escalating. And by the way, and let me just say that, you know, even in there does come a point at which there is nowhere else to go. There comes a point where you can't drink anymore. You can't watch anything more sordid and debasing than what in, and so we, but we're constantly looking for something. And so, you know, so then we monitor stuff. Here of late, we begin to monitor. Now, what do I mean by monitor stuff? I mean, we monitor other people's lives. So we get on Facebook so I can know what exactly Josh is doing, because I want to know, you know, what Beverly's doing. You know, and we have Instagram and Snapchat and all these other things because we have to know what Kim Kardashian had for breakfast. I don't care if Kim Kardashian has breakfast. But you know, we have to know, follow all these famous people, and then we follow our friends because we need to know what's going on in our friends' lives. And then we see what's going on in our friends' lives, and they're not our friends anymore because they didn't include us in this, and they did this, and they said this, and we end up losing friends, and teenagers end up with heartbroken and betrayal and all these feelings. But we're constantly trying to find some way to be happy, constantly trying to find some way to be satisfied. And that doesn't work, so then we join stuff. We join, you know, the YMCA, or we join, things like yoga or hot yoga, whatever that is, which, you know, we do stuff like that. We join little leagues and book clubs and bowling leagues and country clubs and all these things. And even sadly, sometimes we join a church thinking, okay, well, surely this will be the source of happiness for me. I can be satisfied now. And sadly, you know, sometimes that certainly is a wonderful thing. But sometimes, sadly, that still doesn't lead to satisfaction. And people are still left with this feeling of, why am I not satisfied? Why am I not happy? Now, so why is that? Well, it's because of a fundamental flaw, a fundamental problem in the way we think. And that is what today's principle is all about. So please take careful note of the wording here in principle number 3, and here's what it is. There is no satisfaction for an appetite God did not create. Now just let that sink in a minute. You know, everybody in this room who has a bad habit or an addiction or something like that totally gets this right here. I mean, this is the story of what we do. You know, this is why we overdo things and so on. So we get that. See, God didn't create us, you know, God didn't create us. You go back to that list that I was talking about, how we buy stuff and we listen to stuff, we watch stuff and we monitor stuff and all these things. See, God didn't create us to be consumers. That's why buying stuff doesn't work. God didn't create us to be consumers. He created us to be producers. See, he created us not to consume things, not to buy things. That's why we can't be ever satisfied with the next newest thing. It's never going to work, because God made us to want to be creative. God made us to make things and build people and build ministries and build things. And that's what God made us for. God didn't make us to be takers. God didn't make us to be takers. God didn't make anybody to take a paycheck without working. Now, please understand, there are times when a person has worked through life and gets to a point where there's a disability or there's a handicap or something that no longer allows, or somebody who truly has a physical handicap or mental handicap that cannot work, that's a different situation. But what I'm talking about is God never made anybody to sit on our backsides all day and do nothing. And you'll find those are very, very unhappy people, very unsatisfied people. No matter how many things we buy, no matter how many things we watch. Look, you can watch TV from morning until night. You can have every package that DirecTV offers. You can look at everything. You can have all total free internet. You can watch every YouTube video that's out there. If you're going to do that, I would suggest you watch the videos about people falling down, because that's funny. That's just funny. But it's not satisfying, because when I see them fall down, I want to see somebody else fall down. And there's nothing better than watching a child. I think the funniest thing in the world, now you moms are going to hate me, but you already do for so many other things anyway, but the funniest thing in the world is to watch a child get hit by a swing.
Oh my gosh.
Because you know what happens? They stand up and they get hit again. And that is comedy at its best right there. So we're working on getting a play gym out here and security monitors, so we can watch that later on and make a highlight reel. But, you know, God didn't make us. How did I get from that to being takers? I don't know what that was all about. You all need to not interrupt me like that, because you'll get me off track and I'll have to start over. So, listen, God didn't make us to be takers. He made us to be givers. He made us to be givers. He made us to be something. So when we try to be something that God didn't make us to be, that's where there's no satisfaction there. God created an appetite in us to produce, not to consume, to give, not to take. God gave us the ability to find satisfaction not in stuff, but in Him. In Him. See, the problem is we're looking for our satisfaction and our happiness in stuff instead of in Him. Now, that sounds churchy. I know. And there's some people, I've had a couple of people say, you know what, why do you keep using that word churchy? Well, because I'm the pastor and I have the microphone. That's why. because it's a word that I think people relate to. People that are unchurched, they get that, because things sound churchy to them. It sounds like that, you know, well, you just need to pray more, you know, like the anxiety thing. Well, you just need to pray more, you know, you just need to pray more. You just need to read your Bible more. Okay, what do you want to read? You know, I was talking to somebody this week about, they said that they had gone to, he said, Pastor, he said, look, I know I'm not a part of your church, but he said, but I don't know what to do. I'm really struggling with something. He said, I went to my pastor and he said, you just need to read your Bible. And it's like, what does he need to read? He was really down on himself. So it's like, so you open up your Bible, you open up to Leviticus. Have you read Leviticus? Of course you haven't. Nobody reads Leviticus. Preachers don't read Leviticus, because it's all these, you know, you got to take an animal and you got to cut out its liver and you got to peel the skin off the liver and then you do this with that part. And it's like, what does it have to do with my life? Look, we need practical things. But you know, it sounds kind of churchy to say that we're supposed to find our satisfaction in Him. But I want to help you to understand this morning what that really means. See, some would think, when I say that, though, some would think, see, that's the problem with religion right there. God rigged the game so that the only satisfaction we're going to find is if we come to Him, like He's a drug dealer. He's got the drug that we all need to be happy, and we have to come to Him to get it. See, that is not the case at all. God didn't rig the game so that we would only find satisfaction in Him. The fact of the matter is, there just is not satisfaction to be found in those other things. Because built into them is a desire to be is a principle that we're going to get bored with it and we're going to want more. See, there just simply is no satisfaction for that. It does not satisfy. It does not complete. There's no completion to it. How many of you have the last cell phone you're ever going to buy? That's what I bought. Dave. Dave's is like, it still works. So, you know, yeah, no, of course we don't. Because you know, like it or not, you know, there's this constant, but see, God is not that way. So God didn't rig the game so that we have to come to him to get satisfaction. He just simply made us in a certain way. And that is that we're not going to find, there is no satisfaction to be found in things from this earth. Now, that doesn't mean we can't enjoy them. And that's where I hope you'll see the balance here today. See, for most of us, this whole thing sounds really negative. It's almost like, you know, God is saying, well, you just have to hate everything. You just can't love anything. You just can't like anything. Well, that's really not true. I'm not supposed to want anything. No, that's not what God's, but can I just be honest with you? I'm moving. And so, I know. That's exactly how I've been feeling. My wife's been doing that for weeks. Weeks. She's packing all of our stuff. I'm moving. And, you know, and I just moved my TVs. I have two of them. And they're heavy. Does that tell you something? They're not new. I want a new TV. Am I wrong? Black Friday, yeah. I don't know. But I would like to have a new TV. I would like to stop driving my van. And by Richard, Robert wants me to stop driving my van, don't you? It really bothers you that I'm driving that, doesn't it? He's told me, Pastor, that is so unsafe. If you've seen my red van, you know what he's talking about. I mean, you can see from one side through to the other. I'd like to have a new truck. I would like to have, are you ready for this? Here, you get this. I would like to have a hot tub. I want a hot tub. My joints hurt. Yeah, I mean a hot tub. And you know what? And I don't want it because I'm going to invite you all over because you're not getting in my hot tub. I'm not that whole thing. I don't get that at all. You all your hot tub parties. There's something. That's a whole different message. And there's something. There's much more to that than we're not going to get into that here. We got kids in the room. So, but. But look, I want that hot tub just for me. Me, not you, not for the ministry. Well, it'll make me a better pastor because I'll be more relaxed and I'll be able to, you know, and my health will be better and my wife and I will have a better marriage and that's just going to benefit you all. No, I want it because I want it. Because I think I would like it and it would feel good. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you wanting something. There's nothing wrong with you wanting a new car. Nothing wrong with you wanting a new iPhone. There's nothing wrong with any of those things that we want. There really isn't. I mean, obviously, there are some things we want that aren't good. But that's not the point. See, the problem is, as Christians, we live with this myth. We have a myth that we all believe. And here's what it is. We believe, I say to myself, I love God and I want things. Well, I love Jesus. Don't you love Jesus? That sounds churchy, doesn't it? Don't you just love Jesus? I love Jesus. No, that's the myth. The reality is, listen, and I'm going to prove this. The reality is this. I love things, and I want Jesus. I love things, and I want Jesus. See, And we say, I don't think that's true, Pastor. I think you're speaking unfairly about me. Okay, so let me ask you, which one do you take care of first? See, when we love things, we take care of them first. So when the time comes, do we take care of the things of God first or the things we want first? You know, when it comes time to cut something out of the budget, do I cut out my cable bill or my tithe? I said it, didn't I? The T word. Look, I mean, seriously. Look, I don't talk about money a lot, but I'm going to talk a little bit about money today. Because money is a barometer of where our values really are. Money tells, how we spend our money tells a lot about us. How we spend our time tells a lot about us. And the fact of the matter is, we think we would love to be able to say, we say, I love God, and I want some things. The truth is, most of the time, if we really take a look at what we do, we would say that we would have to be honest and say, I love things and I want God. See, we love these things and we want God to provide them. Right? See, we provide for the things that we want. We serve the things we want. We make sure we're at work on time. We make sure that we get to work when we're supposed to get to work, right? And we work hard there. We take it seriously. Some of you are going, mm. Okay, those of you that have kept a job longer than 3 months, I know it sounds mean, but there's a lot of truth in that right there. If you've kept a job more than 3 months, you get there on time. You know why they work Dylan the way they do? You know why we, by the way, isn't it good to have Dylan back? Yeah. Have we not missed him? Oh, stop it. It's not like he's not that big a deal. But, no, I'm just kidding. Listen, we do. We have missed Dylan, and it hurts me to have to see Jess sitting there by herself. But see, they're working Dylan 70 hours a week. You know why? Because he'll do it. Because he realizes that he was made to work hard, and he has ambitions. He wants to better life for his family. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the point is, you know, we will make that a priority. We'll get to work on time. We will honor our obligation there. But wait a minute. Did you honor the last obligation you had to work in the nursery? I mean, when you were scheduled the last time, did you show up? Did you show up the last time you were supposed to work with kids? Or better yet, have you even ever considered signing up? Well, that's not my job. Well, whose job is it? Kathy, whose job is it to teach kids? Can you tell me? I mean, can you pick out the people? Wait a minute. Isn't it all of our job? Isn't it all of us that are supposed to? I'm not saying every single person in here should be working with kids, because some of you, no. No. Listen, you're too old mentally, not physically, to work with kids. But my point is, you know, do we take these responsibilities seriously? Hey, you know, when you have a job, when you're a greeter, are you there on time? Do you show up on time? You know. And so on. So my point is, we say we love God, but do we take care of the things of God? When it comes time to make budget choices, does that say we love God, or does that say we love things? I got one amen there. Even after I said I got one amen there, I still didn't get any more. That tells you something. Yeah, everybody's mad. So, look, it's not that things are bad, though. Please understand, it's not that things are bad. And here's let me transition. Let me give you my text verse this morning. Then see, it's not that things are bad. There's nothing wrong with things. There's nothing wrong with wanting things. There's nothing wrong with wanting a new car. Look, and I don't care. You buy whatever car you can afford. It doesn't make any difference. Here's the thing. The reason we don't find any satisfaction in those things that we buy, that we watch, that we listen to, that we eat, that we smoke, the reason we don't find any satisfaction in those things is because we've got it out of order. Let me show it to you. Here's what Jesus said. He said, you want to be satisfied? You want to be truly happy? He was talking, and how many of you ever heard of the Sermon on the Mount? You heard of that? So right after that, he starts, that's all the blessed art thou, the happy is thee, happy is thee, happy is thee. That's those verses. And so he's talking about what makes people happy. And he said, if you really want to know what makes people happy, let me sum it all up for you. You're so focused on your clothing, you're so focused on your house, you're so focused on your food, you're so focused on all these things. He said, check out this truth. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He said, but seek first. He didn't say seek also. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. Now, what that means is, seek the things that make a difference to God. Seek a thing that makes... He's not saying, I don't want you to go to a concert, but I want you to seek God's kingdom first. He's not saying, I don't want you to go and enjoy a night of karaoke or wherever you like to go. He said, go do it, that's fine. But seek my kingdom first. He said, I don't care if you want to go to the car dealership and check out new cars, or you want to go to Verizon or go to AT&T or whatever you want to do. Do whatever you want to do, But do it after you have first sought the kingdom of God. Do it first after you have made this your first priority, your top priority. And then, watch what he said, and then all these things will be added unto you. Now, there are some people who think, well, that means, so you're saying that if I take care of God's needs first, he's going to give me all these things that I want? No, I'll come back to that at the end of the message. But what he is saying is, you will never enjoy those things the way that you want to. Listen, please, get this. This is what the message is all about today. He said, you will never, ever, ever, ever find satisfaction in those things until you have first sought my kingdom. But if you will seek the things of God first, if you'll do that first, then you can enjoy most of those things that I've been talking about this morning. And that really is what the message is all about. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to stop. I just wanted you to know that's what it's all about. So, you and I, see, we're concerned about our house, aren't we? We're concerned about where we live, aren't we? Some of you are looking at me like, you're either asleep or you're like, nah, I don't care where I live. You do care where you live. You should care where you live. You should care where your children are going to live. We should care about our house. We should take care of our home, shouldn't we? We should care about how they look. We should care about whether or not they're clean. Now, you don't really need to care about whether or not there's flowers planted outside. That's totally unnecessary. But Kizzy and Matt are back there going. So, but look, we should care about that. We should care about what we eat. We should care about, you know, whether or not we have decent clothes to wear. Right? But not first. Not first. First thing we should be concerned about is, am I doing anything for God? For his kingdom? Am I doing anything that God thinks is important? If I'll do that first, then those other things will take care of that. See, the problem is we love those things and we want God. But he said it doesn't work like that. You know, he was talking to the Jews at the time when he said this. And you know what decision they made? They said, nope, we want those things first. They said, no, we don't want that. We want things first. We want to continue the reward system. God, we see, back in the Old Testament, the Jews, and a lot of our misconceptions about what Christianity is about today, is they come because we read those passages in the Old Testament that weren't written directly to us, and we think, well, if I give to God's work, or if I do this, God will reimburse me. Well, that's not how it works. That's what they wanted. You know what they ended up with? They ended up with neither. They, not only did they lose the kingdom of God, not only did God take that from them, not only did he say, look, I'm going to take this and I'm going to give it to another people, that we're beneficiaries of that. We get to be a part of the kingdom of God, even though we're not Jews, because they rejected it, but then they also lost all those things. They lost their homeland. They lost all those things. And God brought it back to them. Don't get me wrong. God's not against the Jews. My point is, when we don't get it in the right order, oftentimes we end up losing all of it. But when you don't make God the priority, not only do you not get that closeness to him, but you still probably aren't going to get those things you want. And even if you get those things, you're not going to enjoy them like you should. You don't like that, do you? Sorry. It's not my job to tell you things you like. It's my job to tell you the truth. Isn't it? And this is what he said. He said, look, I want you to be happy. I want you to enjoy those things. I want you to have those things. But I want you to get it right in the right order. Take care of the things of God first. See, that's the reason that we give. That's the reason we serve. It's trying to take care of other people. And those are the things that God cares about. And then God says you can enjoy the things of your life. So, you know, God said satisfaction is never going to be fun. So here's what we do, though. Here we say, well, you know what, I just want those things. I think that's where my happiness is going to be. And God doesn't provide that. You didn't get that raise. You didn't get that bonus. You know, you don't have the money. So we take matters into our own hands and we say, well, I just know I'm going to be happy if I have this thing. If I have this hot tub, I know I'm going to be happy. So we take matters into our own hands, we put it on a credit card. And you know what? We enjoy that thing. There is satisfaction. I am enjoying this hot tub for about 30 days. And then the mail comes, and we open up this bill that shows all those decisions we made that same way. And we look at that and we say, wow, this is not so much fun. You can't take everything back. Listen, a lot of times, Shay, and a lot of times in life, let me do this. There are no do-overs. You need to learn that, Shay. There's some things in life you don't get to. You make a bad decision, you won't get a chance to take it back. You should listen to the people around you to help you with that. All of us need to do that. So, you know, most of the things, okay, so God created this appetite, create appetites in us for things that he knows will lead us to satisfaction. You know, satisfaction is never going to be found that way. It's just a temporary high. This is the whole reason we do drugs. It's to get a temporary high. It feels good for a while. It feels great for a while, probably. I mean, I remember after I had the tumor surgery, they gave me a bottle of Perk 30s. If you don't know what that is heaven in a bottle. You take a couple of those and it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It really doesn't. You know, I took those for a day and a half. A day and a half. You ask my wife. That bottle had 100 pills in it. That was probably worth $1,000 on the street. More now. I took three of those. And I said, this feels way too good. And I got rid of them. I sold them. Not even. Yep, that's what I bought that red van with. No, I got rid of those things. Because that felt way too good for a very short time. And you know what I wanted? I wanted another one. And I know had I continued to go through that bottle, I would have needed to take a couple more to get that same feeling. And I would have needed to take a few more that next time in order to get that same feeling. So where I was taking one and feeling good, and then I'm taking two and feeling good, and then I'm taking three and feeling, you know why? Because there is no satisfaction in an appetite that God did not create. That's how it works. That's why we do drugs. That's why we enter into relationships. There are an awful lot of, let me just say, this is not just young people, but especially young people. You are not going to find satisfaction. Please hear me, and I want to be very appropriate. You will not find satisfaction going from one sexual relationship to another. You just won't. You're not going to find satisfaction that way. It's not going to happen. Because God has a plan for that. God put an appetite in each one of us. But it's done His way. And done His way, that's within the bounds of marriage, frankly. And if we do it God's way, we find an incredible amount of satisfaction there, and there's no need to look further. There's no need to do that. There's a satisfaction. Now, look, when I say that, in our world, you know what some people say? That's boring. I'm bored with just one person. I'm bored with just one thing. Now listen, I'll be appropriate, but I'm also going to deal with this issue, folks. And I'm sorry, if you don't want me to deal with the issues that we're facing in this world, you're going to have to find another church. I promise you, I'll tell you the truth. The problem is, you're looking at too much stuff that isn't real, and when you get bored by being a voyeur into other people's love lives, you become desensitized, and you lose the satisfaction in your marriage. Now, I'm telling you that as somebody who counsels 40 hours a week with people, and this is one of the most common things I'm dealing with. So get off those websites, get off that stuff, because it's killing your life at home. Amen. Thank you. So my point is, God gave us these appetites, but God's appetite they put into us is for one person of the opposite sex for a lifetime. I know it's not politically correct, and I'm not judging anybody in this room. I'm just simply telling you that is the appetite that God put in you. That's the appetite that God put in us, or at least that He wants to put in us. Well, I wasn't born that way, and I believe that can be the case. But I'll tell you what, you can be reborn a different way. But we love everybody here. You know that. You know that. It's not my place to judge anybody. And it's not my place to try to change anybody. In fact, I can't change anybody. I won't change anybody. I won't change a baby. That was the one thing from last week's message that you all got. That's all I heard about this week. Like, did you get any of the spiritual part? No, I just remember you talking about those baby diapers. But this is what we do. See, most of the things, and let me kind of bring this to a some decision time here. Most of the things that people do to seek joy and satisfaction are nothing more than temporary if we don't seek his kingdom first. And that's the whole point here. See, this is why relationships, look, if you're single, by the way, let me just say, at Experience Hope in October, we're going to have a singles night. And it's going to be a wonderful, it's going to be kind of a, just a wonderful night to be together and just try to help to deal, because we have a lot of single folks here. A lot of older single folks. And by older, I mean, you know, middle age and all that. We have a lot of that here. We have a lot of young single people too. But we're just going to have a night just to kind of talk about that a little bit. But if you're single and you're looking for a relationship, can I just give you some advice as your pastor? Look for somebody who wants to seek God's kingdom first with you. And then I promise you, you will find all kinds of wonderful things added to your relationship. But if you base it on something else, if you base it on looks, now I think every relationship starts on looks. I mean, nobody wants to date somebody ugly. Unless you're ugly. But I mean, you need to know. You sort of need to look in the mirror and kind of gauge where you are on the, and be realistic. Look, I said it's not my job to tell you what you want to hear. It's my job to tell you the truth. So, Doug, be realistic. Yeah, he said, I'm trying to figure out how you ended up with Tammy. She's blind. That's why I said she's blind. Her prescription is really, really bad. I caught her without her glasses on. So, but look, seek somebody like that. Seek somebody who wants to serve God with you. I promise you, you will find great joy there. You will find a satisfying relationship. See, and I heard for some of you, you would love for your spouse to be with you here today. I think about some of you often. Now, there are some of you that you're sitting here and you say, man, I wish my husband, I wish my wife would come to church with me. I wish my spouse would be here with me and serve with me. And it's really kind of a shame that some of you do get to come to with your spouse, but you just kind of sit here and do nothing. You don't serve. There's others that would love for their spouse to be here. There's some single people here who would love to have a spouse to serve with them. I love to see Steve and Alicia Duncan up here together. You know, and Alicia sings. Steve can't do anything. He's on security out there. He really can't. I mean, he's got no talent at all. I mean, none. You know what? No, he. But you know what? He shakes an egg up here, and you may look at it. They're doing it together, and I love that. You know what else they did together yesterday? Some of you are going, come on, get your mind out of the gutter. They cleaned this building together. They were the ones who cleaned those toilets and cleaned these floors and made this nice for us to come in here. They're serving together. And I promise you, they've got... And you say, well, I'm just too busy. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know any busier man than Steve Duncan. I promise you that's true. That's true, isn't it? I work 70-plus hours every single week of my life. He puts me to shame. Don't tell me you don't have time to serve God. Laura would give anything to have her husband be able to serve with her again in the church. So, couples, find something to do together. Find some way to serve together. You say, well, there's just nothing for me. Oh, that is so not true. We have another nursing home asking us to come and give a service for them. We have all kinds of people who can't get here because they need visited. We got all kinds of people who, for whatever reason, life has pulled them away from here. They could use somebody to visit them. There's... Rick, have you got all? You probably don't need any more help at all cleaning this building, do you? I mean, you got all you can take? Yeah, I mean, you're overrun with cleaners, right? Kristen, yeah, are you? Yeah. We don't need anybody else to give to this ministry. We got plenty. See, this is our thinking. Relationships, buying stuff. Can I give you some suggestions? Do you want to enjoy buying stuff? Well, look, I'm going to be very practical. Do you want to enjoy your next TV? I mean, really enjoy it. Really find satisfaction. You want to really enjoy and find satisfaction? Take care of God's work first. This is what it is. Take care of God's work first. And you'll find that, look, and I can prove it. How satisfied are you with the things you have? Well, think about it. The things you have at home, how satisfying are they really? They could be. There's nothing wrong with them. You ever wonder why you can't find satisfaction in things that you know aren't wrong? Not wrong. Not wrong to have a new car. Not wrong to have this. Not wrong to have that. Why is there no satisfaction in it? Why do we always want more? I'll tell you why. Because we don't put God first. You know, the most satisfied people and the most happy people in this room are those who regularly give to His work. I make no secret. My wife and I, okay, you hear me preach. You know that I do not preach that God is commanding anybody to give any amount of money. I don't preach that. I don't believe it. That was an Old Testament law. I think it's a very convenient thing for preachers like me to drag into the New Testament and try to make them apply. Because if everybody in this room gave 10% of your income, we could do all kinds of great things. It'd be a wonderful thing. It'd be a fantastic thing. All good. But that is not what God said. God gave that command to a group of people that were Jewish, that were living under a reward system, that were living under Judaism, and He said, that is a part of the deal for you. In the New Testament, it's all different. But my wife and I, and you, the only giving records that I ever see as the pastor here are mine. And the only records here that are ever public are mine. You are welcome to see what my wife and I give anytime you want. Randy, you'll show it to them anytime they want, right? Because we've talked about that. You want to know whether or not your preacher, whether or not your pastor gives the way that I say I do, you check it out. You are welcome to look at mine. But do you want to know why we do it? Do you want to know why we give 10% plus of every penny that we make, every penny that God brings to us? I'll tell you why. It's not because I am so spiritual. And it's not so I can stand up here and brag about it. And it's not so that I can tell you can check it out. I'll tell you why I do it. Because I want to enjoy the other things that I have. I want to be able to go out and buy some things for my wife and not feel bad about it. I want to be satisfied. I want to be able to see. Sure, would I love to have a new vehicle? Of course, who wouldn't? But you know what God, do you all know the story about what God has done for me? And I'm sorry, I know some of you are saying, okay, get this over with. But I got to tell you this. See, my wife and I kind of need a new car. We have a combined 400,000 miles on our car. And God knows that. But we're not going to take our tithe payment. I could buy a new car with what we give to this ministry. I can make that car payment. You know what God did for us? There's an airbag recall on my car that we got a letter in the mail and they said, there's this airbag, your car's not safe to drive. I was like, dude, you have no idea. That car wasn't safe to drive. Forget about the airbag. It has nothing to do with that. But so I called the Ford dealer and I said, so because we can't get the parts for you, we're going to give you a rental car. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, it's not worth it a couple of weeks to get a rental car, you know, while they're waiting for these parts to come in. So I called Ford and I said, so how long are they expecting to get these parts in? They said, well, they're hoping by December. I said, you mean you're going to give me a rental car? A brand new, we're driving around a brand new Toyota Camry. It had 4,000 miles on it. Now it's got 8,000 miles on it. Road trip. I think I'll drive Uber for a while. But it doesn't cost us anything. I know you say, well, that's coincidence. That's not God. You think whatever you want to. I just know that I want to enjoy the things of this world. I want to enjoy some things. So when I buy my hot tub and don't invite you, just know that I don't feel bad about it. Because I will continue to give to God's work first. And it's amazing to me as I look back on our lives for the last 5 years. You know the salary that I had in this job for the first 6 months was $400 a month. I look back at how God has taken care of us in spite of everything. And the only reason is because he says, well, I'll make it work out for you. So the people who love this ministry the most give the most. But please get this. They don't give the most because they love this ministry the most. They love this ministry the most because they give the most. I don't mean most in dollars. Please don't mistake that. Somebody who's barely making anything, who puts a $5 bill in the offering plate, sometimes is giving way more than the rich fat cat who's writing a big check. It has nothing to do with how much we give, nothing to do with all. It has everything to do with whether or not we follow what God is telling us to do. Please understand that. Having a lot of money doesn't get you anything here. There is no first-class section here, right? Southwest Airlines of churches. You get whatever seat you can find. Owls are full of nuts. So we just, but it's about God looking at us and saying, you know, will you put me first? You want your marriage to be satisfying? Serve God together. Are you tired of always thinking, and I'm done, are you tired of always thinking, if I could just have the same, aren't you tired of living like that? Aren't you tired of always chasing and trying to be satisfied with things, stuff, programs, clubs? God said, if you will just simply put the ministry to people at the top, do something for me. And you do something for him by doing something for people, by the way. God doesn't need our money. He's good. He's set. But there are people who do. There are people living in squalor. There are people living without a home. There are people without food. There are children without clothing. There are single ladies that are on the run because everywhere they go, they have to couch surf and somebody wants to take advantage of them in order for them to have a place to live. And it ought not to be like that. They shouldn't have to sell themselves to feed their children. They need it. God says, I'm good. But I want you to put it into something that's going to help them. Put it into a ministry that's going to be about people. Don't you put it into a... We don't judge other churches. It's not my business what they do. But there is a church not far from here spending 9 times our annual budget to reface the front of their brick building. How many people is that going to lead to Christ? How many hungry people is that going to feed? How many homeless people is that going to put into a place to live? How many people is that going to have? Look, again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having a nice building. But I want you all as a church to hold me and these deacons accountable. Are we putting the kingdom of God first? Now, this building needs a new roof. Do you know why it doesn't have one now? We got a little bit of money that's been given toward it. But do you want to know why there's no roof on this building? Seriously, do you want to know? Because there hasn't been enough money come in for that over and above the needs to take care of people. Do you want to know why I'm selling my house? Because I can't take care of it and take care of people. My wife and I made that choice. We can't take care of that big house, that expensive house. It's wrong. We can't do both. And we are going to, I promise you, we will be so happy at our new home. I promise you. Some of you, you're so worried about it. You say, well, you're selling your dream home and all that. That is not our dream home. My dream home is being built by Jesus. I can't build anything like he can. We're going to be thrilled to be in our new home because we can take care of people better. So please don't worry about that. Let me give you this. You ever notice why two people working in the same factory, on the same factory line, one is miserable in their job and one is happy? You know what the difference is? That one that is miserable is looking for happiness in that job. The other one has something much greater that he or she is looking for satisfaction in. Colossians chapter 3, let me give you this verse. See, that's why Jesus said, set your affection on things above, not on things, you know what he's saying? Set the things you, make the things you love things that are above, not the things on this earth. And I'll close with this. Do you want God to give you everything you want? Wouldn't you love for God to give you everything you want? What do you mean, no? What kind of stupid answer is that? Well, why? I want God to give me... Is anybody honest in the room? You want God to give you everything you want? Well, let me show you how to do it. I'm just kidding, by the way. Let me show you how to do it. Next verse. Delight yourself also in the Lord. That means make Him where you seek your satisfaction. Make Him where you find your delight. Not things, not stuff. And He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, we look at that and we say, oh, so you mean if I put God first, He'll give me everything I want? Yes and no. What that means is, if you make Him your delight, it's not going to be about what you're wishing for right now. He's going to change what you wish for. He will change what you want to match what you should have. That's what He said. And there's some people in here, you get that. You are living right now, and if you were going to be honest, you could stand up and you could say, I really have everything that I need, everything I want. I personally have everything that I want, except a new TV and a hot tub and a new truck. But other than those things, I have everything that I want. I really do. And this is what God is telling us. Let's make Him our priority, not stuff. There will never be a satisfaction or an appetite that God didn't create. Father, thank You for an opportunity to be able